Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for this time we've enjoyed together already. And Lord, I pray now that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit of God would have for each one of us. We look into your word together, and particularly, Lord, we consider Enoch and how he walked with you. And we give you thanks and praise in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says there in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I don't know how you see that in your mind, but I see it as one day Enoch was out there doing whatever he was doing, walking around, and maybe he was even preaching, we don't know. In Jude chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible tells us that Enoch was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached about these ungodly people and their ungodly deeds, which they ungodly did, and he was, we would say today, by the definition, he would be a fiery preacher. No compromise, no messing around. He was speaking about the Lord's coming back to deal with the ungodly. And whether it was when he was doing that on one occasion, or whether he was merely sitting at home meditating, but there came a day when God removed Enoch out of the world. He didn't taste of death. He didn't see death. And we would say, well, how did that happen? Why did that happen? The answer there is at the end of verse 5 in this sense, that he pleased God. His testimony was that he pleased God. He pleased God so to such an extent that God said to Enoch, Enoch, you do not have to go through physical death. Death is the norm. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But now God says to Enoch, Enoch, you don't have to worry about this fearful thing called death. And he took him out of the world. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Now we notice that he did it by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, and that is what was pleasing to God about Enoch's life, and we know that from the very next verse, verse 6. Because the Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Without faith it's impossible to please God. It's not just difficult. It's not just hard. You know, sometimes we live the Christian life with a set of rules. And we think if we do this and don't do that and do something else, then that's all good. God's happy with us and it's all good. But the problem with that is we're not living by faith. We're living by our rules, by what we think God expects of us. And as long as we live how God expects for us, we tick the box and we say, yes, I read my Bible today and I prayed today. And once this year I witnessed to someone and you know, and I keep my shoes shined, so that means God must be happy with me. But that's not walking by faith. That's walking by sight. That's walking according to my understanding of what the Christian life ought to be. The problem with that is we'll all have certain differences about what we think. And so we'll all be all over the place in that sense, whereas we're all, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we're all expected and required to live by faith. And yes, it's right to have certain standards, and we need them, and certain things that we believe God wants us to do, and certain things we believe God doesn't want us to do. And we ought to have all that in place, but if that's all we have in place, we're not pleasing to God. You think, well, I thought as long as you wore a tie and looked smart that you're pleasing to God. If you're doing that by faith, you are. But if you're doing that because you think there's some laws or rules and I have to do certain things and you're not doing it by faith, then you are not pleasing to God. Enoch pleased God. Why? Because he lived by faith. Now, I'm sure if we saw Enoch, we'd be impressed with the way he lived. I'm sure Enoch had what we call some godly standards. I'm sure there were some things in Enoch's life that you wouldn't have found in the majority of people's lives in those days. Because how many people was God pleased with and took from the earth? Only one. It's a little bit like when Noah came. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But what about the rest of the world? And I would suggest to you, and we know that Noah walked by faith, and we read about him a little further on here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, what Noah did. But he did it by faith. He was pleasing to God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 5 for a minute, because there's just a few verses there that make reference to Enoch. It's interesting when you think about it, this incredible experience that Enoch was allowed to enjoy. Unique in history in this sense. And yet there's not much written about him compared with some other men and women in the scriptures. But we notice here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. So we know the name of his father, Jared. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch, now by the way, when Enoch was born, just think about it, Enoch was born, Adam was still alive. Just keep it in perspective, that's all. Adam was still alive. For us, we think of Adam way, way back there. When Enoch was born, Adam was still alive. And the Bible says in verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So he has a son at the age 65. And then the Bible says here in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after that he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews says he translated him, or he took him off the earth at a point in time. And he was 365 years when God said, Enoch, you please me. You've been living by faith. I'm well pleased with you, and now I'm going to bring you to myself. Tremendous privilege. Amazing privilege that he enjoyed. But then, if we think about it, his must have been an amazing walk that he had with God. Compared with the rest of the world, which was preparing itself for God's judgment at the time of Noah's flood, Enoch stood out from the crowd. He had this tremendous walk with God, this relationship with God. And if I can get anything across to you this morning, I want to get across to you this. You and I need to have a personal, intimate relationship with God. Nothing else is going to get you through the Christian life in any victorious kind of way, except you learn what it is to walk with God. Not God somewhere out there. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm praying and I have to stop and think, what am I doing here? Because my prayer, and I'm offering it up as though God's about a million miles away, somewhere out there in heaven. And I stop and think, Lord, this is foolish. You're right here with me. You're with me now. I'm talking to you now. I don't have to have this idea that God's somewhere out there and he loves me and he cares for me, but he's somewhere out there. No, no, that's not walking with God. Imagine if you're in your family and, you know, here's a man lives in Australia and his wife lives in Germany. Be a great fellowship you'd have, a great relationship. Or you can talk on Skype. Oh, how good would that be? But, you know, my wife's somewhere over there in Germany and I love her and it's fantastic. But I really don't have anything to do much with her except when I talk to her, she writes to me or emails or Twitters or Twatters or whatever she does. No, Enoch walked with God. He had this personal relationship with God. He didn't have to get on his knees and sort of try, God, please, please, where are you? I've got a prayer for you. I want to ask you something. Imagine. That's not a walk with God, if you're living like that, that God's somewhere out there. What does the Bible tell us? When we get saved, the Spirit of God indwells us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. And the Lord Jesus could say to those who would obey him and walk with him, he said that we, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, would make their abode, their dwelling place in us. God, if you're a believer, dwells within you. He's not a million miles away. And yet I think sometimes we live like he is. We live like he's somewhere out there. And I know I'm saved. And I know I'll be in heaven one day and then I'll finally meet God. We ought to be walking with him each day. We're to be walking with God. We're to have this, you know, our relationship with God should be an intimate relationship which is far more intimate than any other relationship on planet Earth. Because I'm walking with God who knows everything about me. He knows every need, every hurt, every desire, and so he is able to communicate with me about all of those things. Other people don't know some things. There are some things in my life that nobody knows about, not even my wife knows about. I'm not saying that's bad. But that's not like with my relationship with God. God knows all about me. God knows everything about me. And I'm able to be open and transparent before God because he knows it anyway. Amen? And so God's not somewhere out there. And God dwells within us as a believer. So the Bible says with Enoch, Enoch walked with God. You know what that tells me? God also walked with him. God walked with Enoch. And how did that come about? By faith. By faith. And so when you and I walk with God, we please God. Because we're walking by faith. The Bible says that is pleasing to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I want to have a look, first of all, at some verses in the scriptures that talk about our Christian walk. Into the New Testament, Romans chapter 6. It's interesting how many verses there are that talk about walking in certain different aspects of our walk or our spiritual walk. In Romans chapter 6, look there first of all, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says this, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, notice what it says, should walk in what? In newness of life. We are to walk in newness of life. The Lord Jesus said, I've come to give them life and that they might have it more abundantly. I've come to give them eternal life, this relationship which is with God. And so we are to walk in this newness of life. We're not to walk like the crowd out there. We walk in newness of life. Paul said to the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so I'm to be walking in this newness of life. It's exciting. Not like the world out there. They got no idea why they're here. They've got no purpose and no meaning for their lives. And Paul says we are identified with Christ, and therefore we are to walk in this newness of life which he gives us. You have a look in chapter 8 of Romans. He says here, if the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we're going to be like Enoch, Enoch didn't walk after the flesh. You say, what do you mean walk after the flesh? Do the things that you want to do. Do the things that make you happy. Just live for yourself. Enoch didn't live that way. He didn't live after the flesh. He lived after the Spirit. He lived walking with God. What is it that God wants me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to talk to today? Lord, could you please establish my thoughts about this? Lord, please give me wisdom. And he didn't walk after the flesh. He's not like, Lot and others who lived and walked after the flesh. He walked after the Spirit. You have a look in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul says the same thing here about walking in the Spirit, just slightly different to Romans. The same thought though, verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is a tremendous, tremendous promise from God. You're struggling in your Christian life, you're having difficulty, you don't seem to be able to get victory. Let me suggest to you, it's because you're not walking in the Spirit. Because God says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, you will then enjoy the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 and 23 of the same chapter. Walk in the Spirit, you enjoy love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You're walking in the Spirit, you'll enjoy all of those things in your life. If you're not enjoying them, let me suggest you're not walking in the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not pleasing to God like Enoch was. Enoch walked with God. Why? Because he walked in the Spirit. You have a look in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice here in verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Paul now says this walk with God is to be a walk in love as Christ loved us. That's how we're to walk, in love. Love toward God, love toward others. We are to walk in love. In verse 8, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, you see some Christians, or I see some Christians, I think, I wonder whether they're really saved. They're not walking as children of light. They're walking as the world, in other words, the children of darkness. Their life does not shine for the Lord. They're not walking as Paul describes it here, as children of light. Enoch walked with God. Why? Enoch walked, as Paul describes it here, as a child of light. He was a child of light. You have a look in verse 15 of Ephesians 5, 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Enoch walked wisely. He was wise in how he lived his life. He had wisdom that comes from a God, which comes from above, James said, which is first of all pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and so on. We're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk wisely, not as fools. Not as the world walks. Many things the Bible says, doesn't it, about walking. In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 7. Well, verse 6, first of all, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we're to walk by faith, we're to walk in the light of God's word. We are to walk in the light. And then if they haven't challenged you in chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. John said, if you're going to please God, then you need to walk as the Lord Jesus walked. That's how we're to walk, as he walked. You say, how did he walk? Look through the Gospels, find out. The book of Acts tells, I think it's chapter 10, where it says the Lord Jesus went around doing good and helping people and preaching and sharing with people and giving his life, as he says in Ephesians, a savour, a sweet-smelling savour unto God. Walk as he walked. Walk as he walked. So we find Enoch walked with God. That means he did all those things that we've spoken about in these verses here in the New Testament. But I want to remind us of this. You go back to Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5... And we read here in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So he was 65 when Methuselah was born. And the Bible says that after that, he walked with God for 300 years. You say, what's the point? The point is this. His walk with God began at a particular time in his life. That's salvation. Our walk with God doesn't start from when we're born. It doesn't start when we're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or however old we might think. Our walk with God starts when we are saved. We've already said that Enoch preached about the Lord's coming. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't say this, but it may well be that the miracle of the birth of Methuselah was enough that God could use that to bring Enoch to a place of saving faith. You could ask any preacher who's been in the ministry for any length of time, and they will tell you that they have seen people saved as a result of a young one coming into the family. The miracle of birth, of seeing a baby, and all of a sudden, the ideas of evolution go out the door. They said, no, this is ridiculous. This can't be. Evolution can't be true. This is too amazing. This is such a miracle that a little baby could be born, and God has used that in the lives of many people to cause them to begin to look upward and come to a point where they trust Christ as their Savior. Now, I know the birth of a baby doesn't mean you'll get saved. That God uses things in people's lives. One of the things he uses, and I'm suggesting to you that that birth of Methuselah caused Enoch to draw near to God. And from that day, he walked with God. You know, it reminds me of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was going down there on the road to Damascus. He was angry and he was wanting to get Christians and put them in prison. He was looking to kill them if he could and torture them, all those things. And there on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and put Saul down there on the ground on his face before the Lord. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And from that day on, Saul, who became Paul, always walked with God. Enoch, I think, is the same. From that day when he got right with God, he walked with God. Stayed in that right relationship. He walked in the Spirit. He walked in obedience and did those things. And so if you're not saved this morning, you're not walking with God. You can't walk with God until you're saved. You have to be born again into the family of God so then you can pray, Our Father which art in heaven. And you don't just pray, Our Father, which are, now you pray, Heavenly Father, you're my Father. As Paul said to the Romans, we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the idea of Abba is daddy. There's this relationship now with God, and he is my heavenly Father. And so Enoch started walking with God at that point, the age of 65. What a blessing to know that you don't have to wait till 65 to get saved. You can get saved if you're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, something like that. I remember, I think it was John R. Rice, he gave testimony of being saved when he was either 4 or 5. He said, oh, they got no idea what they're doing back then. They can't understand the gospel. Who says they have to understand it? You have to believe it, not understand it. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The gospel's simple enough. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and physically and bodily, and that we're sinners in need of salvation. That's all you need to know. Then you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. Simple enough, a child can do that. And we know the Lord Jesus did what with the children? The disciples saying, send them away, they're a nuisance, the master's busy. But the Lord Jesus said, no, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom. And so Enoch began to walk with God. And so we now walk with God. There are two things. It's God talking with us and us talking with God. That's in simplicity what it's about, isn't it? God talking to us and we're talking to God. God talks to us through his word. He said, how does God speak to you? Through the word of God. Don't look for some voice out of heaven. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I remember one person, they kept saying, you know, God told me this and God told me that and God told me something else, and I'm starting to panic, you know, because they weren't happening what God had so-called told him. Well, God told me this and God told me that and God told me something else, and I'm like, oh dear. You, God can speak in a voice that seems almost audible. There's no question about that. But the norm is faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God speaks through his word. And so as we read the word of God and we study the word of God, you know, have a look in your Bible. One of the men out of the prison said to me one night, he said, boy, you've got all sorts of things written and all sorts of things in your Bible. I said, well, that's when I'm reading it and God maybe shows me something and I underline it or I highlight it or I do something. God's talking to me. I want to remember that. I don't want to open up a blank Bible every time. You know, that'll speak of a fairly poor relationship. I want to be able to open my Bible and see highlighted here and a little note there and a little arrow pointing here and all that sort of thing. That means I'm communicating with God through his word. He's talking to me, amen? You say, I don't think you should write on the Bible. I think it's too sacred. It's a piece of paper with printing on it. I'm saying that carefully. It's God's word, and we ought to hold in respect. The Bible says that God has lifted up his word even above his own name, so he gives it high priority. But this is a printed page, and you know, highlight it, write in it, asterisk, put stars, do whatever it is, get different colours, you know, and all that sort of thing, so that when you open it up, it goes, oh, yeah, that's right. And Noah, he, right, and, oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. And that, yeah, if you look in that passage, it's the same sort of thing. And you look here, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me those things. And, oh, that's right. And me, that's right. And me, I've circled that. And all those things. God's talking to me. And then I talk back to God. I talk back to God. I don't talk to God like he's a million miles away. Now, you don't walk, hey, go on, God. We're not talking about that either. That's irreverent. That's not right. But we're to pray. We're to pray specifically. We're to pray about everything. We are to remind God of who he is. We're to remind God of his promises in the word of God as we come to him. We ought to keep a prayer list, things and people we're praying for. We ought to take note when God answers our prayers. You see, this is all part of our walk with God, our relationship with God. Now we're not talking about a God who's way out there somewhere. God is within me, and I'm enjoying fellowship with him. I'm enjoying his peace. I'm enjoying his comfort. I'm enjoying him establishing my thoughts. I'm enjoying this walk with God. Who needs the world when you've got to walk with God? Who needs to have everybody like you? You don't have to perform, and yet so many people think they do. Now, I'm not talking about being rude and ignorant. But the psalm writer could say, who in heaven and who on earth do I have beside thee? Why? Because he's walking with God. You know, God knows our needs. He's well able to take care of them. And he uses people. We understand that. But the number one priority is to walk with God. Walk with God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you and we bless you for this precious truth, Lord, of walking with you. Father, I thank you that you're right here with us now. Even the Lord Jesus said, even where two or three are gathered together, you're in the midst. The Lord Jesus promised, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And yet sometimes we have to be honest, Lord. Sometimes we pray and live like you're a million miles away on another planet or something. I pray you'd forgive us for that, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see the wonderful privilege of the child of God to walk with our Heavenly Father, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in newness of life, to walk in the light, not in darkness, to enjoy abundant life that the Lord Jesus promised. Lord, how blessed we are, and how, Lord, good you are that you would dare to offer us and give us such an amazing and a wonderful relationship with the God who created all things. Father, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we might search our own hearts and be honest before you. If we're not walking as we ought to, Lord, that we would be honest and acknowledge that and confess it. And Father, maybe someone is not even saved and they cannot walk with you. They're not in the family of God. Pray that you'd bring them to a place of repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and his accomplished death and resurrection there, that they might be saved. Again, for God's people, that we would walk with you, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn to 300.